Hi, Art Supply Posse. I find myself struggling a little to articulate what I want to say in this introduction for today's newest Posse member. That's because there is so much that I would actually like to say, I find that I would be writing an essay. And that's not quite the point of this. So, you know, I won't. I'll spare you that. I have been doing a little dance behind the scenes in an effort to get our guest to join the Posse. She is one busy woman, but finally we were able to find a gap in her schedule and here we are. Why am I delighted to have her here? Well, because I find her inspiring. It's really as simple as that. Her art is the sort of thing that makes me happy every single time I see it, which for me is pretty powerful. And really, I don't think I need to say anything more. Other than, welcome to the Art Supply Posse, Car.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure.
It's exciting and nerve-wracking to be here, even though I've done it before.
Yes, yes, but that's fine. You know, everyone feels the nerves. It's all good. Hey, even I get nervous sometimes, like knowing I was preparing for this because I've wanted to talk to you for so long, I actually found myself getting nervous as I was like thinking about what to ask you and jotting notes down. So don't worry, nerves, they'll go away. Or they won't, and they'll just, you know, be there anyway in the background.
You'll just drag me through the podcast. That sounds
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Get me talking about art, though, and I won't stop.
Done. See, easy.
Awesome.
So for our listeners who may not have heard the recent Art Journaling Roundtable, which was 2 episodes ago as we record today, could you just sort of share a little bit with us about who is Car, not just the art sort of Car, but, you know, general life, busy, crazy, and then we can lead into the actual art discussion as such.
Okay. I'm Car. I'm a mum to a teenage daughter, just one child. I have one dog. I always joke that it's all one only here. I've been creative for as long as I can remember. I started doing cross stitch back in the day. I think my mum taught me how to do cross stitch back in the 80s. So I always had a cross stitch on the go. And that was a big craft of mine for a long, long, long time. And then when I had my daughter, when I was pregnant, I said, I think I'd like to learn how to quilt. I had no idea about colours or anything. And my mum helped me make one quilt to start with. And I have to say, it was a little embarrassing because I used not the proper batting that you're supposed to use in quilts. It was like a loft type. But anyway, we still have that quilt today. It's still going, which is pretty good for 18 years of use. But from that point on, I found an online forum and I found a quilting group and it just basically exploded from there. And I think it was just the communication with other girls doing similar sort of projects and stuff. We started becoming more like, let's do a little of this and a little of that. So basically I've gone from cross stitch to quilting to art journaling and then everything in between. I think I mentioned on the roundtable, I started with like handwritten journaling, which was my absolute favorite, but I have segued more into the art at this stage. I still write, but just not quite as much. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
It's funny you mentioned cross-stitching because that was such a thing. I remember that being such a thing in the 80s. Like, it felt like every single person was doing it. I don't know how those things work. Like, how does something become what everybody has to do? I've got no idea. But it is fascinating, yeah. Isn't it? Like, it's like, it doesn't seem to always be that way. Like, sometimes something will come. I guess maybe bullet journaling is another thing that comes to my brain, although it is something I tried like for literally half a second and couldn't cope with. But like, everyone was doing cross stitch, like everybody. And then suddenly they just weren't. And then everybody was doing, you know, bullet journaling. And then, I mean, I know there are people that still do it, of course. But do you know what I mean? Like, it comes in waves. And I suppose maybe now the thing is we see a lot more of it online, but back in the 80s, we didn't have the social media and stuff yet. Everyone we knew, we were all cross-stitching. Like, I don't know. It's just funny how that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause I moved out of home, I think when I was 20, and I remember buying my very first cross-stitch pattern from Big W that I'd actually bought myself that had their own threads, because I used to raid Mum's Stash, which she was like, no, you've got to start buying your own stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm still at home. I can use yours. So when I bought the first pattern, I was like, oh, I'm so big and I'm like this adult now. And then that was 1998 and it's still not finished.
Oh.
Which is another thing I should tell you, listeners. I am really good at not finishing things, but then I'm also really good at finishing some things. So, yeah, I still love the pattern. I got to the backstitch stage and went, I can't do it. And it's on black fabric and middle age. I can't see that black so much. It's so good anymore.
So I've just had an idea that I think you need to follow through. You need to get it out. You need to get some kind of frame and you need to hang it as is, like with, I'm imagining like threads hanging and needles attached. And like you can call this, I don't know, some great name like work in progress or uncompleted or like, you know, something, and then like sell it for $1 million, because isn't that concept art right there, right there?
I think so. Actually, what I should do, you give me an idea, and this is what I like about my creative life. I get these little zings of ideas. I might turn it into a journal cover as is.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because then yes, I can use it. I don't have to finish it.
No.
And it can be my work in progress journal that doesn't ever need to be finished because
yes.
And the cover's been going since 1998.
You're doing away with that guilt of, I'm sure I'm not the only one that experiences it. I'm just saying you do too, but you know, you might say, I have no idea what you're talking about. But you know, that guilt of having an unfinished project, whether it's 6 months old or 20 years old, like it's just there staring at you. It exists. Well, now it's going to become a journal cover. Oh, yes.
Yes. See, okay. I'm going to have to write that one down, Kim, because I'll forget it. Which
tells me listeners that Carl isn't going to listen back to this episode, which is completely fine because I don't listen to any of these either, so I have no problems with that at all. Oh, my goodness me. All right, so we've sidetracked already, and I love it. But, you know, it's excellent. Still art. It's still art-related, so it really doesn't matter. So we have cross-stitch car and we have quilting car. Now, quilting car still exists, is that right?
Yes, very slowly quilting car.
Yes, yeah, but yes, it is still part of the thing, the part of your creation.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. My grandmother used to quilt. My mum used to quilt. So I come from a line of quilters. They tend to just stick to more of the older 80s sort of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, well, my grandmother's since passed, but my mum doesn't do any more quilting.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished a quilt recently. Again, with the I take forever to finish things, I did a swap back in, I'm going to say 2010. It might have been earlier or later. I had all the blocks. I pushed it all together. I actually got it basted. I got the quilting done, the whole bit. I just had to sew the binding on and I literally left it sitting there for years. And I picked it up at the start of this year and I went, yeah, I have to finish this. So I finally finished it after over a decade.
I love that though.
So yes, I'm still quilting very slowly though.
It needed time to marinate. That's okay.
Well, you know, that's the thing. And I think the problem is sometimes when you do things from that long ago, you don't really like fabric as much or there's things that you would change. But I was like, finished is better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
And the other quilt that I've slowly working on, I started in 2009. Was a Dear Jane, which I actually journaled every single block that I made for that one so far.
Oh, wow.
A few people started it with me. A few people have gone, yep, going to throw those because it's no longer sort of relevant. But I pulled all mine out, I think, last year sometime. And I went, yeah, I can't throw this out. I'm still going. I think I had 160-odd blocks done.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that because it could be wrong. But anyway, there was too many to throw out, not enough to put together. So I'm going to change the layout and finish that one of these days. Maybe not this year. Maybe next year.
That's a good thing, though, that you can do that. Like, it's not so set in stone that you can't now give it a refresh, change it up a bit, and then make it suits you today as opposed to you when you first started it. Like, you know, and that's one of the really good things, I suppose, about art is is a lot of the time there is flexibility with what you're doing, what you're working with, and how you can get to that end result, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's just I need to keep organizing my room so I can actually access the sewing machine.
Yeah, that's a massive job. So I'm curious to know, though, because there are other things that you do creatively as well. The thing that stuck the most is the art journaling. But I'm wondering,
yes,
the quilting and the cross-stitching thread, right? Like thread has a different feel in the hand to holding a pen or a pencil. And, yes, I know that's a really obvious thing to say. Please don't come at me. But what I'm kind of getting at is when you're doing like the act of stitching, whether it is by hand or with a machine, is a completely different thing to writing or drawing on paper as such, right? Which is art journaling at its most basic, is putting marks onto paper with something.
Mm.
Why do you think one is better for you now as opposed to... Is it just simply a case of an art journal doesn't take up as much room as a quilt? Or is there more to it, do you think?
For me, I think there's more to it. So as I said, I started out when I was pregnant, and that was my mum just basically teaching me from old patterns and everything. And then when I got online, I met a whole new group, and it was just this whole new modern quilting. Mm-hmm. I'm saying modern, it was 2007, so it was like a long, long time ago. But what I found was just being able to read blogs back in the day, it was a lot of inspiration going around. But for me personally, I had a daughter. I was 30 by the time I had my daughter, so it was a bit of a shock to the system, simply in that I'd had all my 20s for me. Mm. And then all of a sudden I had my daughter and I was like, oh, I've gone from like all this spare time to a very limited time throughout the day. So I had her in a really good sleep schedule. So most days she'd go down at 12 o'clock for a sleep. She'd wake up at 3 o'clock. So I had 3 hours a day. And most people are like, you sleep when the baby sleeps. And I used to quilt and I would just run through. And it was just this, I think it was just that I'm doing something that's productive. I'm making things that I enjoy. And it's keeping me a connection with these girls that I met on this forum, and I've kind of didn't look back from there. So that was what quilting was for me back in the day. So now that she's up and about and running around, obviously teenagers, very busy social life, I don't have that solid block of time. And I kind of guess I feel a bit guilty if I take that solid block of time now to do the quilting. I have no doubt that I'll probably get back into it because as she gets older, she'll be, you know, out doing more. But for the journaling, I'm finding, particularly in the last 8 years or so, it's really handy to have on the couch with me at night.
Mm.
So I'll watch a TV show and I'll doodle or I'll write or I've got watercolors all over my table. My husband actually calls it my little craft cave on my couch because I'm surrounded by journals. Usually they fall over. But I find that's a different, it's more of a being present with the family doing stuff, whereas back when I was quilting, it was more of a, oh, I'm on my own at home. At least I can do this and feel like I'm connected.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the journaling, more so, also I do struggle with mental health, so my journaling is priority for me. It's something that I do every day regardless, whether it's writing, drawing, painting, creating crazy little characters, which I pop up every now and again on Instagram.
I love them.
That's keeps me sane, basically. Stops the brain ticking over into overwhelming thoughts.
So how did you go from the move to straight journaling only, the written word only, to art journaling? Because for some people that leap would be quite daunting, or especially if they haven't had any real sort of, I don't know, art experience is a hard
experience.
One. Yeah, it's what you say, but really here's the thing, we overthink things so much because when we're kids, we just grab colour pencils and we just create, you know, like I've got a couple of drawings and paintings that my nephews have done for me and there is zero inhibition there. They were here with me a week or two ago and we did some painting and there's just no questions at all. They just do what they want to do. Like, So, you know, we say as adults, oh, I don't have any art experience. We did when we were kids, you know, like if it's not something you've kept doing. But that can stop a lot of people. And I ask this because I guess as you will know, and because it's been, you know, I brought it up in a roundtable episode, I've sort of been touching on art journaling a lot lately because it started last year when I was initially asked about it by some listeners, like how to get started. And I didn't find any online courses that I thought I would be willing to take, whether they were free or paid was irrelevant. It was what they were offering wasn't quite sort of, you know, what I was wanting to talk about and what I was wanting to sort of show and, you know, discuss here. So which is why I just started bringing people in, because I've sort of shared a bit about my art journaling, but then I wanted to talk to others because I think, I mean, all art is different, right? You know, we can all sit down with some watercolors and look at the exact same apple and we'll paint this completely different apples. Like, it's just how it is. But art journaling for some people can be quite a daunting thing, like an overwhelming thing. And I don't know why that is as such, but I'm just curious to know, how did you go from one to the other? Because I guess the reason I ask is, one, I'm curious, but also I think it might help somebody who has been thinking about, well, I journal, you know, I've got my journal and I write in it every day, or maybe I just do, you know, 4 pages at the end of the week or something like that. And then they've seen, whether it's been you or someone else online who shares their art journaling, you know, relatively regularly, and they're like, I'd love to try that, but there's something stopping them. Like, so I guess I'm interested to know how you've gone from one to the other. I don't know. I'm assuming it was an easy process. Maybe it wasn't. Like, my assumption is, oh, she just picked up a pencil and started drawing. But I mean, like, you know, what was the catalyst and why stick at it? Why does it work for you?
Okay. So
there's a lot there. Sorry.
No. It's actually a really good question. When I was in the quilting group, we actually started doing little challenges for each other, and it became quite a fun thing to do. And I think somebody stumbled across it was an online art journaling course with, from memory, it was Elsie and I'm going to say Rachel, not the barefoot Rachel, another one. I think Elsie was a beautiful mess, and they were doing this art journaling thing. And I was like, okay, I'm really interested in getting into paints and all that sort of stuff. I had no idea what I was doing. So I found that course really good because they used a lot of vintage fabrics, which I had a heap of. And it delved into doing, like, it was more about talking about yourself on the page. But then I finished that journal and I was like, oh, I'm loving this. So I went to the next one and I kept working from that point. And it was good because I could do different sorts of things on the page with my writing. And I think the thing is then I got onto YouTube, and YouTube explodes your mind. If you want to do art journaling, YouTube's the place to go. But you made a good point there where a lot of people tend not to start. I think for me, with actually art journaling, I would see another person's page, I would follow it step by step, how they taught it, and then it just wouldn't look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a couple of, I won't name any artists, but some big artists that actually have products, and they're like, yeah, if you buy this, you can do this with it. And I would buy all the stuff and I would do it, and it would be just a mess. And it took me a long time to get to the point of doing it myself rather than following what they say is what works for me. And it's taken me a long, long time to get here. So I now know what I like to draw. I know that I'm confident drawing certain things. And it's been a process for drawing as well, because I'm not a natural drawer. I could sketch back in my teen years, but not very good at it. And I think that probably relates to some art teacher probably told me I sucked. But I don't know why I've just kept going. I think it's just opened up a part of me where I can express myself through mess and realize that sometimes it doesn't matter if I put mud on the page. It's expressing a feeling in that point. The other thing I was going to say is, you know, we were talking about how things become fads. Scrapbooking used to be a massive thing.
Oh, yes. I forgot about
and
that.
And I think.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I couldn't scrapbook well because it wasn't pretty.
No, I couldn't either. I just tried and I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. I'm like, looking at all these pretty pages. And the beauty for me, when I came into art journaling, my sister-in-law's mother used to do one of the stamping up, no, the other one. Oh, anyway, one of those they used to do. So, you know, get invited to parties and go along and go, oh, okay, I'll buy this and I'll buy that. And the great part is my mum used to do that as well. And then she decided she didn't want any of it. So I got all of her stuff. Yay.
Nice.
So I've got this massive stash of stuff. And art journaling came in and I'm like, I've got all this stuff ready. But then I still like to do other things just to spice it up. So, you know, I've got a heap of stamps, but I'll carve my own stamps because I just really like the feeling sometimes. And I'll go through stages where I'll carve heaps and then nothing. Or then I'll go and make stencils and then do nothing. So I'm a real just Girl Friday. I jump about and whatever kind of inspires me that day, really.
I think there's something to be said for that, though. And this occurred to me, listeners, just as a point before we hit the record button, I was sharing with Car my glorious inability to sleep last night and some of the things that were rolling through my brain. And one of them was the fact that an art journal is a place to explore as well. Like,
and play.
And play, yeah. You know, like I recently joined and I cannot think of the name of the person, which is terrible, but I recently joined a Substack community. I decided to become a paid member of it. It's an art-based Substack. And currently they're looking at the different things you can do with graphite pencils, as in different types of mark making and that sort of thing. And I thought, well, you signed up for this, like, you know, you've paid for this, like, actually, don't just read it, Kim, do it, you know, which I've often been guilty of doing, reading about a thing and thinking what a great idea and then not doing it. So I grabbed out my art journal and I started playing with my graphite pencils and I'm like, this is so much fun. Like, you know, it's just a place to explore different things. And if it wasn't for that, I would never have thought to even grab them out and do anything with them. Like, you know, like I just, it wasn't that way. Like, it's just not where my brain was. I'm not in pencil mode. And yet with this little encouragement and this little bit of a suggestion on things to do with them, I'm suddenly grabbing my art journal and now playing with graphite pencils, like, you know, which I think it's just one of those things. You can explore so many different things within one art journal too. You don't have to be contained to, this is only going to be paint. I mean, if you want to do it that way, like have, you know, a different art journal for a different medium, I'm giving you permission to do that. Trust me. I'll give you all the permission.
Permission, but you'll never finish the journals.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't matter. But you know what I mean? Like it's a place to play and explore and try different things. And you know what? I even think the things that we think are terrible when we finish them, because sometimes that happens. Sometimes that actually, maybe you're not that harsh. I'm very judgy of myself, but you might finish something and think, oh, that's not really what I wanted to do. I have surprised myself and gone back, like, you know, even just 6 months later and looked at something and gone, that actually isn't too bad. So, you know, you can do so many things within the pages of an art journal, I think, which is pretty special.
Yeah, I think the problem is if you try to follow too much how someone else does it, it's never going to work. Yeah. And it took me a long time to get to that point and go, okay. And I think that probably comes from we're talking about cross-stitch and quilting. You get a pattern, you put across where the pattern says to put across in that particular colorway. Quilting, very similar, unless you're doing an improv, where you have a pattern, the certain colors, you know, if you put a red triangle where a blue one's supposed to go, it's going to throw the whole quilt off. So when it came to art journaling, it was like, oh, this is a whole different world. And it has taken me a long time to realize that I can play and I can experiment and I can make my journals whatever I want them to be. And it doesn't matter if people think it's art or not art, because it's all about expressing myself. And that for me is the best thing. But yeah, I often go back and I'll look at a page the next day and go, oh, I hate that. 6 months later, I'll pick up the journal and go, what was I thinking? Which is interesting because I don't know if you've seen on Instagram, I'm on a kick at the moment of finishing journals.
Yes.
Yes, I have too many journals. So
It's no such thing.
I did four last month, and it was just little things that I had to finish off in each of them. But this month I picked out three, and one was I think it cost me $5. It was an A6 spiral book from Riot back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was filled with just watercolor circles or ink circles. And I looked at it and I went, this is ugly. And I looked at the book and I was like, $5, I should just throw it in the bin. No, I'll use some of the papers. No, I'm just going to add doodles to the top. And I've had a lot of appointments outside of school with my daughter and myself. So I've just been taking it along. So instead of just scrolling my phone, I've been doing little doodles, and it's just been circles and stripes and pen work. And I finished the book yesterday and I'm like, yes, I finished the journal. Look at me go. Got two more to go for this month. But sometimes I think we look at it all too critically.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just needs to be looked at fresh eyes, maybe 5 years down the track.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my thought on that. But I'm obsessed with circles at the moment.
Oh, they are so good to do, aren't they? They're just
fun.
I did a bunch the other day because I wanted to do something and I didn't know what to do with myself. And I'm like, I just got a pen and just made circles, and it felt so good. Like, I think it's because it's freeing. There's no expectation of what it should look like. It should be vaguely round, and that's about it, and joined up to make it a circle, you know, otherwise it's a spiral. But yeah, it's fascinating how something so simple can actually be so powerful, I think.
Yeah. And it just keeps, you can keep doing them. So yeah. My latest idea yesterday was I've got a whole heap of mini composition books, and I'm actually thinking about doing one with watercolor and just watercoloring the circles and then taking it with me everywhere I go and just doodling over the top. That'll be a big job and another journal, but that's okay. Well, I don't mind more journals.
As someone who has just spent too much money on a new one, I say go for it, buy that new journal.
I have to ask, what did you buy?
Oh, I'm not confessing. No. Oh, gosh, no. The guilt is terrible. Oh, no, I am not. I shouldn't be so feeling so bad because I tell everyone else to do it, and yet I can't do it for myself. But I did. I just feel guilty. But I was thinking, actually, just to circle back a sec, when you were talking about patterns for quilting and cross-stitching and those sorts of similar things, as opposed to the free rein that we get within an art journal, I think what I particularly love about the ability to do both, because I don't quilt, although it is something I want to get to do, I guess if I'm thinking about something like prescriptive with a pattern, you know, something that I follow, the Shishiko stitching kits that I've got is what comes to mind, particularly because it's all printed there. I don't have to put any thought into it at all. And I love that. I'm just following along with something that's predetermined for me, and sometimes that's all I need. And yet, on the flip side, sometimes what I need is to go crazy in an art journal, and I can do that. And I think you're probably similar to me in that sometimes you need one or the other, like one or the other works for you, depending on which way the wind is blowing. Like, you know, just sometimes your brain needs one over the other, and it's okay for that to be. You don't have to tell yourself, well, now I'm art journaling, I'm never going to pick up a quilt again, because no, you can be as creative and expressive as you want to be.
Yeah, I think it works how my brain works each day. Sometimes I need something to follow, and I think that comes back to the blank page. A lot of people say, oh, I'm scared of the blank page. And a lot of artists, because I do a lot of like little, you know, creative retreats. I just did one last weekend. A lot will say just write something on the page so you've got something on there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have the problem of if I write something, I want to cover that up because I like having my writing on the page. It's hard over here. I have very parameters are like set in place. But yeah, sometimes I have done the Shishiko before. I love it because you can just sit and not think.
Yep.
But then I also sometimes love doing, and I've been doing a series of these journal covers with denim fabric, and just, it's not Shishiko as such, it's just like the word.
Is it like the Boro stitches?
No, it's like a free stitching. So it's, I'm still using the Shishiko needle and stuff, but just stitching wherever I want to go on the
Yeah.
And making sure that all the fabric is tacked down. So they will all become journal covers. Yep. So I find that actually quite freeing as well, because there's no pattern per se. It's more improv. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I do them with circles, actually, circle stitching in that same sort of way.
Yes.
And it's funny because what the other thing I've got, I'm not going to count, maybe 10, maybe 15 little small pieces of fabric that I've stitched onto. And I guess I'm holding my fingers out, which is useless to everybody right now. And I don't have a ruler in handy, but maybe the biggest one would be 10 or 12 centimeters by same, you know, there's a square, and I've stitched on them. And at first I'm like, well, what am I going to do with these? Well, they can go into a page of an art journal. Like, you know, and I think that's the other thing is we can incorporate things that aren't markers, pencils, or even paint. Like, that's the other great thing about an art journal is you can pull in other things and let it go crazy if you want to.
Yeah, it's freedom, isn't it?
Mm.
I actually saw somebody on YouTube once. It's a complete segue. They'd taken a cross stitch, and I don't know how they did it, and do you think I can find the video now? But they had taken their cross stitch piece that they'd done and cut it right out near where the design was and glued it into their art journal page. And I'm like, oh, my mind is blown. Like, I know it's not your work per se, but it's something that you've worked on.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes I'll work on a cross stitch piece if I'm going through something big. So a few years ago, I had a few operation and I bought cross stitch. And that was the one thing that kept me sane while I was recovering, was just doing my stitching each day and listening to an audiobook. That was a big piece, so I wouldn't be able to do it. But something small would be fun to put into a journal. Because it's something you've done at that point in time. I'm all about capturing the feelings.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, we make these things, you know, such as a cross stitch, or, you know, these random stitching creations. But then if you don't hang them on the wall or whatever, if it just goes in a cupboard or a drawer or whatever you do with your completed things, like, it's not ever, it's not that it's forgotten, but it's just sort of, you know, just there. But at least putting it in the pages of your art journal, it exists in something that you're looking at every day, or, you know, maybe you're not at art journaling daily, you might be every other day, whatever, but it's there in a book that's easy to get hold of. And it kind of makes it more real again, if that makes sense. Like, you can look back on it and you can see that it's there and it exists, and then it might also inspire something else, which is the other cool thing about art journaling. You know, you get creative and exploring and playing, like with your little creations that you know, your little figure. What do you call them? Your little people, your little, like, I don't even know what they're called. I love them so much. And I'm like, I really wish I could do that, but I don't even know what they're called. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, that starts from one thing and then suddenly it leads to a whole world of it.
Yeah, okay. They're the odd blobs. So I used to follow a Patreon an artist years ago, and they'd be like, yeah, and this is how you do this, and this is how you do that with watercolor, and I, or collage, you know, and I've had it so many times. Well, you just do collage. Well, yeah, but how? Like, some people they can't explain how to actually get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, it was pulling my hair out, and I just didn't see any progress, and I went, I'm just going to slap some paint down. And I was doing one of our creative camps, we used to go away with a group of girls, and we always take a little gift, and it's supposed to be a $5 limit.
Mm-hmm.
But I went, oh, I'm going to try something a bit different. So I actually went and got a whole heap of pencil cases from Officeworks, I think, put a bit of, I think it was gesso on the back of them, and I did a face on the front because I was always drawing faces, even though my faces were terrible in the beginning, and the girls, some of them still have the pencil cases. Quite embarrassing, but, you know, we can only improve.
They love them. That's what matters.
Exactly. On the back, what I actually did was I put five of these little creatures, and all I did, I got so frustrated one day because people are like, it's easy, you just do this. And no matter what I did, my art looked like a try-hard copy of somebody else. And I went, I don't like that. It's not, in the words of Marie Kondo, doesn't bring me joy. So I went, okay, I'm just stepping outside of my comfort zone and my other friend had actually said to me, oh, you need these watercolor paints. I'm like, oh, okay. And it was a really hard time for me in that time frame with an operation and everything. So I went and talked to my husband. And he said, yep, get them. If that'll bring you joy. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, great. Got them. And I went, I don't know what to do with these watercolors. Like, they're sitting here, really expensive watercolors, and I'm just slapping some on a page because that's what people told me to do. So I was like, okay, no, I've got to do something with them. So I just drew this little, like, didn't even draw it, just painted this little blob. And then I added a couple of eyes. And then all of a sudden, in every journal you could think of, these little creatures were popping up. And then I made it into a calendar. So I've had the calendar going for since 2019, I think now. And I just make it for myself. And I've been told, get it online, you know, sell it. And I'm like, I don't know how to. But I spend all this time, and I think last count I had something like 600 scanned readers or something, might be 400. I don't know, a lot anyway. And yeah, it's just evolved from there. So, and my style has changed rapidly since doing that. So what started as literally just like this little round blob of paint on paper has become this little menagerie of, I call them the menagerie of madness. And yeah, I don't know. I just keep coming back to them. So, and I think because they're like, I don't have to think, I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to look like anyone else's work. It's just something that's come from me. So I don't know if that is my style coming through in that. My dad says he can see it. I have a lot of friends that say, oh yes, I can definitely tell it's yours. Mm-hmm. So yeah, one day I will do something with the menagerie, but right now it's just, they keep me company on my journal pages, and they are everywhere.
I love them. They're just fun and cool and silly. And I think it's a perfect example of giving yourself permission to play in your art journal, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, if you hadn't have done that, if you hadn't have pushed through all that frustration and, you know, got permission to buy the expensive watercolors, yay, you know, you may not have come to this, and yet now you've got 600 of these little things, and they're just so, I just love them. Like, every time I see them pop up in your Instagram, I'm just happy and delighted, and I'm like, yay, there's another one. Like, you know, I think it's you. I think it's your style, definitely. But it's just, it's that thing, isn't it? It's just a thing you do.
And you just keep working. I think they're very simplistic. You know, you're not going to put them on a display at an art center or anything like that, but
for me,
just to be able one day,
why not?
We'll see.
Come on, why not?
My younger brother said to me years ago, oh, you need to write a kid's book with these. And I'm like, oh, don't start me. So that's all ideas that percolate in the background, but then I get segued with something different. So. But yeah, I'm a big believer in doing something every day, even if it's 5 minutes. And that's what I like about those. They might be simple. They might be not, you know, I'm going to try and quote an artist. It's not the Mona Lisa. Did I get that right? My brain is not functioning properly this morning.
It's all good. Neither's mine.
But it's, for me, it was just that process of being able to do something every day.
Yeah.
And they build up. So 5 minutes a day. If it makes you feel good for 5 minutes, who cares what it looks like? Move on to the next thing. So that's my theory.
And it's also amazing what you can actually achieve in 5 minutes. Like, sounds like such a stupid statement to make. It's only 5 minutes, but yeah, that's a lot. It is actually a lot of time. Like, and also, I guess the thing with that is, if you can only fit in 5 minutes a day, cool, go for it, do it. You might actually find eventually suddenly your 5 minutes have become 10 minutes. You know, like you saying about instead of scrolling on your phone, there's a perfect example where instead of scrolling on your phone, even if it was only going to be for 5 minutes, you know, you might have 5 minutes in between an appointment or between your next favorite show starting that you actually want to watch. Like, you know, you've got to give it your 100%. That 5 minutes, you can do so much within the pages of an art journal. It's really quite amazing. And it also, I guess the other thing about a short space of time is you can build on something. Like, okay, so your little odd blobs, you might be making them in 5 minutes, but then Somebody else might take 5 minutes to do one thing and then the next day build upon that again and again and again and just build up to create a full page of something. Like, obviously, it's not, you don't have to spend hours at a thing. If you haven't got hours, then fine. I don't know many people who do. But five minutes is plenty. You can get so much achieved in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think sometimes you get caught up in the perfectionism of things.
Mm.
So I've been guilty of that in the past. But now I'm actually working on I don't even think I've mentioned this on Instagram yet. I'm trying to be a little bit more active on Instagram this month. I had this great idea that I could do a series each month. So I'm trialing it this month. And all it is I've got to make the journal myself and select the theme. So this theme is using graphite, but water graphite.
Oh, no.
And that's all. So I'm just using those pencils and a book that I've made myself out of manila folders because we don't do much filing anymore. So I've got a stack of manila folders I can use. And so far, touch wood, I'm 17 days in. I haven't missed a day yet. And it's not perfect art, but it's something that I do try to do each day just to prove to myself that I can and see where it leads me. If I get some cute little creatures out of it, that's great. If not, it was an experience. So then next month I might do, I don't know, I've got a whole heap of ideas to do every month. I kind of had to stop thinking because when my brain goes into overdrive, it thinks of years worth of stuff that I could be doing. Don't get me started on that tangent.
No.
So I think, you know, next month I might do watercolor circles or I might change it up and try, yeah, I don't know, poetry. It's just a little, just to get me thinking and stepping outside of the box. And I think every little bit, like if they take me 5 minutes to do, it's still a creativity. And for me, creativity is more important than scrolling my phone. So I can put my phone down, I can do a little bit, keep me grounded in the moment, and it helps.
I find, and I don't know how weird this is, but anyway, I'm just going to confess it on a podcast, but I find the act of creating something in an art journal, particularly if I'm doing it, say, in my not normal place, which would be like, you know, inside my home. So let's say I've got no sun today at all. I complained to Carr before we recorded again about this awful weather we're having. But let's say the sun was out and I took my art journal and sat on the veranda and watched my dogs run around and drew a thing. And it could just be literally circles. I find something about doing that makes me remember that moment more later on. Like if I go back to that page, this imaginary page, I will remember where I was. Like that I was sitting outside in the sun on the veranda and watching my dogs. And I don't know what that is about that. Like it's something about, I don't know. I've got no idea, but you know, the actual way the brain works, why it does these things. And I think that's probably something else that is worth noting with art journaling is, I mean, I love your scenario of, you know, sitting on the couch, engaging with your family, creating at the same time. But if that's not how you want to roll with your art journal, that's fine. Like you can go and sit outside. You can go and sit in the car. You can, you know, if you have the confidence to actually journal in a public space, go for it. Like there are so many other ways around it too, other than being able to do it at home, which is what's going to be for most of us. But it does, it's almost like it creates a photo of a moment for me. I think that's the closest thing I can equate it to is taking a photo of that moment. It's kind of a similar thing.
Oh, it definitely is. I did that. Oh, I'm trying to think now. It was years ago. I was going in for an operation and I was extremely, really, really stressed about it. And I took my daughter to the beach just to get out of the house. And I threw in a journal, a little set of watercolors. And actually, it wasn't even watercolors. It was a dot card. And I went to the beach with just a water brush and I painted a blob. And it was probably one of my favorite ones I've ever done because it was all sparkly and everything. And I still remember that moment. There was no one else on the beach. My daughter was just doing handstands like she always does. And I was just painting this little blob. And just for that moment in time, I had peace.
Yeah.
And then when we left the beach, it was like, oh, I got to go. I got to pack. I got to do this. But it was just that little moment was captured. And I think that's what I like about art journaling. I can take it with me. And yes, I will take watercolors to the beach because why not? Mm-hmm. I always throw them in my bag wherever we go. And it's easy to carry. It's not, you don't have to take a packed lunch. You just little tiny set and off you go.
Yeah. And I think we've sort of only really skirted around the issue, but the other thing is this is also important for our mental health, whether or not you have poor mental health or good mental health. Doing these things, particularly in an art journal, you know, capturing these moments, whether it's 5 minutes or whether, you know, you have the luxury of a full hour or more, it is doing your mental health a world of good, you know. And I think that's the other thing that I find them so important and so helpful for is maintaining, or helping to maintain, you know, a better sense of mental health, even if it is only briefly. Like, you know, I'm not saying an art journal is going to cure your mental illness if you have one, because trust me, it does not, but it certainly helps with mine. And, you know, I think there's something pretty good about that, something pretty special about that.
Yeah, I think it's an extra tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people, you know, I will go walking, I will meditate, I'll do my yoga, but my creativity is the extra tool in the toolbox because I can just, you know, on the weekend I was scattered completely all over the shop, just, and I could feel my stress levels building, and I just turned to my husband and said, I just need to sit down and I'm just going to watch this art class. Yeah. And I did that, and I just did some sketching and drawing while I was watching the art class, following along with the class, and I didn't finish the piece, which is fine because I've got the tools now to come back and know how to finish it, which 10 years ago I wouldn't have been able to do that because I didn't have the confidence within myself. But now I've got the confidence that I know how to finish that page, and if I don't finish it, that's okay, because those two pages that I've managed to complete in that hour of time that I had to squeeze out because I was going to lose it, basically.
Mm.
So rather than just losing it and scrolling my phone, which is generally my first... You want to get out of your brain sometimes when you've got anxiety, which I do have anxiety, and I've got a lot of from over the years to get out of my brain. I find that if I sink into my art and stuff, I'm getting into I think my friend mentioned it's called a flow state.
Yeah.
And I was able to get into that state, and just that 1 hour that I just stole for myself on the weekend was enough to get me going for the afternoon. And I was like, oh, right, I can do this. Let's go. And for me, I know that that works for me. And I also know it doesn't work for everybody else. I know people have got anxiety that they get more stressed because it doesn't look how they want it to look. But for me, I've finally accepted that my pages look how they are, depending on how my mood is for the day. And if it's turning out to be a horrible page, I can paint over it. It doesn't matter.
Correct. Yes.
And it's taken me a long time to get to that point.
Oh, I love doing that, painting over something. I've been painting over words, and I love
it. You said that.
Because, yeah, it's so good. I don't need those words anymore. I needed them at the time. Now I can slap some paint on top. And, hey, I might even put more words on it, but most of the time I'm not. I'm, you know, doing some kind of drawing or whatever. But it feels really good. I don't know why. It feels almost powerful. I guess I'm erasing that moment in time, especially if they were, you know, written in the midst of being anxious or something. They're often not particularly pleasant words, but there's something quite powerful about going over them again and then having a blank page to start again with, you know?
Yeah, I do struggle painting over my words. I'm still a huge lover of words. I like to dabble in storytelling, and rather than delete things when I edit, I save a whole new document and then start editing.
Oh, because gosh, really?
I can't get rid of my words.
We need to have a conversation about this. Oh, my goodness me, no.
But the way I see it, look, I've got so many books of morning pages and just random words and stuff.
Yeah.
If I ever run out of money and I can't buy any more journals, I've got so many there that I could just go back and paint over. So I'm right. I'm set for life.
Yeah. So how many, confession time, how many art journals do you have on the go at this moment in time?
Next question.
Your husband won't be listening. It's fine.
Oh, no, he walks into the room and he goes, can you just shut the door behind you? Okay, yep, sure. Oh, I've got so many on the go at the moment. It's like embarrassing.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to count them.
Are we talking so higher?
Okay, so I've got about six that I show up to daily.
Mm-hmm.
Are we including the planners and the bullet journals and the Hobonichi?
Yep, absolutely. Let's go. Let's go. For, this is full confession on the table, ladies and gentlemen. This is because I love it because it makes me feel better about my unfinished one. So sweet.
Okay, off the top of my head, I've got a monthly one that I made myself for the new series I was looking at. I've got a bullet journal because that keeps my head actually sane and up to date with everything I need to do. I've got a composition book, which we mentioned last time.
Yeah.
That's basically morning pages and whatever else. I've got my illustrated week that I've been doing, and I'm on week 29 and still going, which for me is just amazing.
So cool.
I've got the 5-year Hobonichi. And then I've got the little handwritten Hobonichi, which I haven't really gotten to recently. I'm a bit slack with my handwriting at the moment.
That's all right.
Okay, and then I have all these other ones, which I'm not admitting to because I'm already starting to sound a little crazy.
No, you're not.
Huh? Oh, see, because I was doing
the supply posse. You're not crazy, trust me.
I was doing a course, Slapdash with Fonda. She is amazing, her art. And I did this with her last year, or it might have been the year before. And one of the things she teaches is to have another journal on the go, ready to go. Because the whole process is to go along with it. So, yeah, I couldn't stop at one. So I've got multiple. So I've got the journals where I roll the paint off so I don't waste any paint.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm painting with acrylics, my entire craft room is basically covered with open journals and papers everywhere because I just go on a, but it's like I fall down a rabbit hole and go crazy. So yeah, I have a lot of journals, but they all have a purpose and they all get used. And I am on a mission to fill all the ones that I'm not really that keen on revisiting.
Yep.
And I'll condense it down into some of my favorites, but yeah, some of those, it sounds like there's a lot. Here I am. I'm justifying myself now. So my illustrated life one that I started this year is a B5, but it's astrology. So astrology is an everyday, like a 365. It's about, I think it's got about 400 pages, a bit less than 400 pages. So because I'm only doing a double spread, that's going to last me multiple years. And I think I love the way that actually looks in the layout, and it works really well for me to just trigger my memory on what we've done each day. So I will continue that on for the foreseeable future. It might take me 5 years to fill that journal, but it's got a purpose.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's got a purpose.
And that's what I was saying before. You give people permission to buy and start any journal, it gets out of control very quickly. I've come from a one person, one pen journal at a time to I couldn't tell you how many I've got.
In that particular one, are you keeping to a similar style? Like when you've got a journal, that one, but the others that you're sort of regularly in, do they, I don't want to say look the same, but is their feel the same, or are you all over the place with differences?
Each journal is the same. Mm-hmm. So my 5-year is writing on one side, creatures on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got most of my creatures. I've done like 300 odd just in that journal for last year. The illustrated life is basically it's on Instagram. I'm going to say Oh Amy, I think it is, that does it. And she gives out prompts. And I find sometimes I can go ahead and just draw whatever I want in my week. Other times I rely heavily on the prompts just to give me that little bit of a kickstart. Mostly those look the same.
Yep.
My art journals, depending on what class I'm doing in them, they all can look different. But I'm kind of getting to that point where I'm trying to streamline things so that I might have many journals, but I want them all similar-ish, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm trying to take classes but make it more my own sort of style. So that's my next phase of trying to really incorporate my own styles by utilizing the steps that people suggest, but in the way that I would do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm always learning. I love learning.
Yeah, learning is good. It keeps the brain
ticking over.
Going and ticking over. So aside from the various journals, what are your, like, what materials do you find yourself regularly using? And they can be pens, it can be paints, it can be markers. Like, is there a go-to brand? Is there a color you prefer to work in? Like, you know, because this is all important too, right? Like, what actual materials are we using?
Watercolors, definitely fountain pens, because I get the document ink that is bulletproof, that doesn't move with watercolor. What else? Yeah, I think watercolor is basically, it's my all-time favorite because it's uncontrollable. So I can use that for imperfect art and I don't care. But really, it depends on what journal I'm using because every journal has a different substrate. So part of the monthly one that I've just started this month, I've used a mixed media paper that I've never used before and it's okay, but it's not great. So what I'm trying to do with that is each month we'll have a different paper to try and use. Basically, number one, use my stash. Number two, it's because I'm making it all myself. I'm not too phased.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have a completed theme for the end of each month just to see what I really like. So it's all about using my art supplies more.
Yeah, I love that.
So that I can really sink into them because I think sometimes, especially not so much recently because I've started to wean myself off the whole FOMO. I think back in the day, did you ever follow Jane Davenport when she started releasing art supplies?
Only a little bit, yeah. I never got into buying any of it, but I was sort of seeing what was going,
So when she started releasing the art supplies, it was like, oh, my gosh, I need this, I need that. And it's easy to fall into that, oh, somebody's using this and they say,
correct.
Oh, this is good, you should use this, it's perfect. Might not be so much perfect for you because you don't know how to use it. And I think that is a big problem with when people are starting out. You said before, a lot, you know, they're freeze, they don't know how to sort of get to that next phase. I find if you follow the trends and follow, because some people on YouTube will give, what are some of the brands that came out recently? Arteza?
Yep.
They would get given a box of stuff. Oh, you must buy this. It's excellent. Yes. We're doing a review for this. And then you get it and use it and you're like, okay, this works for me, but this doesn't work for me. And it's really hard because there's so much out there and a lot of it costs a lot of money. Some of it doesn't cost as much. Sometimes the cheaper stuff is actually really good. Some of the dearer stuff isn't. It could be an expensive hobby, but with some of the cheaper brands, you can actually do it on the cheap now and get a fair bit of stuff. But I've been collecting for 20 plus years, so you probably shouldn't ask me.
But that's the other thing, right? Like, it is one thing to know how to use an art supply, but it is completely other to realize that that art supply isn't how you want to work. Like, you know, it's all well and good for an instructor or whatever to say, oh, you need to be using XYZ. But if you buy that and you're not happy with it, that doesn't necessarily mean it's you. It just simply means that art supply does not work for how you like to make art. Cool, great.
Find someone
to give it to. Yeah. Find someone to give it to or whatever the case may be if you really don't think you'll go back to it. But just acknowledge that that's okay. Just because every person in the world is using watercolor, for example, and you try it and you don't like it, that's not on you. That just simply means that style of art doesn't work for you. And cool, because there's so many other types of art supplies out there that might. And I think that's one thing we tend to forget. We tend to just go, oh, well, I can't make it work. It's my problem. All right, maybe you don't know how to use it. But if you learn how to use it and still don't like it, that doesn't mean it's a problem with you. It just means that's not your supply. That's fine. It's totally okay. You don't have to go out and buy every single fountain pen in the world because Kar just said she uses fountain pens. Like, they might not work for you as an art supply, and that's completely fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't use that fountain pens in my art journals.
No.
I use them on my...
I should qualify. Sorry, it's just what jumped at me because I'm actually looking at one and that's what came to my brain. Sorry, guys, let me just... I did tell you my brain is not working and here we are.
It's all good. The FOMO is hard. And, some people will use products and be able to get them to work. I can't. And I've been caught in that trap before. And I know it is difficult for people when they start out, just where do they start?
Yeah.
So I would, the only thing I would suggest, if you're working in a journal, matte paint, make sure it's matte, because gloss will stick.
True.
Well, it sticks for me because I'm in a humid climate here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that's true. I suppose it could be climate related, but yeah, it's a good thing. Start with matte paint and then you know.
Yeah. And don't get cheap.
Yes.
Go to the cheap craft paint that is matte. I know Australia, Spotlight, some of the cheap shops had them, and they are the best ones to use.
Yeah.
They're really, I like those in the journal. I won't use high-end paints in my journals.
It works.
Actually, I don't buy high-end paints. Haven't quite mastered the art of acrylics yet, so.
Oh, God,
Kaiser
please.
Craft is my... $4
I'm going to get down a tangent of telling you off, but I think that we probably should maybe not. So I won't let the listeners have to deal with that. I'll just do that offline or off the recording. which kind of feels to me like a good place to end point this conversation. As I said right at the start, I feel like Cara and I could talk about this subject for ages and just art in general for hours. But, you know, I am wary of the listeners having to tolerate me for any longer of time than is necessary. So, Carl, let's end point it here. We may return to this conversation, I suspect, but what I do want to just finish with is, where is the best place for our listeners to find you online?
I'm on Instagram, Carl Rose Creations, or it could be Carl Rose Creative. I had a mind blank when I created my blog and my Instagram. They don't match. So one or the other. Yeah. I know. I also co-host on the Mox podcast. And again, my brain is not working. And if I get this wrong, my co-host will actually like throttle me. I'll link that one up later. It's the Ministry of, you know what? I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning thinking about this. Okay. Crafty Shenanigans.
I was going to just about to finish it for you. It's Ministry of Crafty Shenanigans.
Thank you. She's going to really get up with that one.
Rach, that's just
sorry,
me.
Rach.
Just, you know, just fixing it for you, Rach. No.
I will send her a screenshot of my phone use at 3 a.m. this morning and she'll understand. So, so podcast, Ministry of Crafty Shenanigans. There's some good episodes on there where you can listen to both of us. And that's about it. I'm really not all over the internet.
That's all right. That's enough. That's perfect. Well, Rach, see, now here I am, just got Rach in my brain and I'm calling you Rach, which is just terrible.
Okay.
It's time for me to have coffee. I'm sure of that. Carl, thank you so much. This conversation has just been everything I was hoping for and a whole lot more. I'm glad we made time. I'm glad we made this little work. I'm just so grateful to have had you on. Thank you so much. Hey, Posse. So just right as we were wrapping up the conversation, Car's audio dropped out, so she wasn't able to say her goodbyes to you all. But that's okay. It happens. We got the conversation recorded, which is the most important thing. I think it was a really inspiring conversation, and I'd love to hear from you on your thoughts about this one. I think it was a pretty good chat, and I just would love to hear from you. So thank you so much for giving us a listen. I really appreciate having you all here. It means the world to me to know that people are listening to the conversations I have with various artists. So I shall see you, or you will hear me, I guess, in the next episode, but hopefully we can connect over on Instagram. Take care. Would you be interested in making a one-off payment to support us? In return, you'd be helping to keep the podcast going and would also get access to our bonus episodes. Let me know what you think via Kim@artsupplyposse.com or via Instagram.